We begin the current daf, Masechta Sagdah daf Chaf. We begin 11 lines down for the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. We're again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah and the previous Perek, discussing the final proceedings of the Sagdah, which is when she comes to the Beis HaMikdash and they bring her Mincha, and also that they take the scroll that was written with the curses that she accepted upon herself if she had been defiled, and they erased that in the water. So on that, the Mishnah qualifies and says that Anshloi Nimchaka Megillah, if the scroll with Hashem's name in it was not yet erased, and Amr Eini Shaisa, and she just says, I refuse to drink. She doesn't say that she's Tami, doesn't say that she's Tar, she just says, I don't want to drink. So the halacha is Megillasa Nignazis. So then what they do is they take the scroll and they conceal it, and they put it in the sides of the Heichal, the sanctuary. And the reason being is because any holy scriptures that are written that are not fit to be used, so then they are hidden away so that they shouldn't be degraded. So that's what they do with our scroll. And the flower offering that they brought, which was part of the proceedings, which obviously not going to bring anymore, because that's only brought when she goes through the site to procedures. So they take it and they burn it on the place of the ashes, which specifically is talking about the one that's in the courtyard in the Azara, where that's where they burn those karbanos that are kachikachim that are invalid, or emurim, sacrificial parts that are invalid. And the reason being is because anything that their area is within the curtains, which is the known as machna shchina, that is, as the Gemara says in Shchitas Kachim of Kovdalama Beis, that there actually were three different Beis Hadeshans, three different places where were ashes, where they burned things that weren't being used anymore. And here, since this was sanctified, this mincha already in the vessel, so it's considered already something that has to be burned in the Beis Hadeshan that's in the Azar, in the courtyard itself. Now Rashi just points out, although it says the word mispazeres, that it gets scattered on the Beis Hadeshan, it actually means that it got burnt over there. Whereas the Gemara says later on, the Chof Gimel Min Aleph, that it talks about different types of menachis, flower offerings, that get burnt, and it considers this case of where her emeris in the sheisiv, she says, I don't want to drink, so she doesn't have to drink, and obviously she leaves the marriage because she's not willing to go through with the procedures, but we don't force her to drink. Now, moreover, ve'ein megilasa kesher lahashkes b'sayta acheres. Her scroll, which is the same scroll that's written for every saita, cannot be saved for the next woman's saita. And the reason being is because we need to write the document, this scroll, this megillah, specifically for the sake of this woman that we're testing as a saita. Because as the pasuk says, v'asa la ha-kain, the kain does for her, meaning la to her means lishma, has to be written for her sake. So therefore, since this woman that was written for is not going through the procedures, so therefore, again, we hide her Megillah, we burn her Mincha, not on the Mizbeach, but rather on Beis HaDeshen, and her Megillah can't be used for any other site. Now, however, that was if the scroll wasn't erased yet. But if Nimchaka Megillah, they already went and they took the scroll and erased it in the water, and then V'amr Tameyani, then she says, you know what, I'm Tameh, I'm admitting. So then, Hamayim Nishpachet, the water gets spilled out, and the reason being is very simply, since she says she's Tamei, so she's already been verified regarding was she Metama or not, through her own admission, and the process of the bitter waters were only to clarify the doubt, to verify if she's Tamei or not. So already know she's Tamei, so no point in her having to drink the water. And again, you don't bring the Mincha, because that's only when you go through the Meisaita, and she's not drinking, so you take the Mincha and you burn it on the place of the ashes. Now, however, Nimchaka Megillah V'amr Eini Shaisa, similar to the first case we discussed, but here it's already that the Megillah was already erased. So they already erased it in the water, and she goes, I'm not drinking. She doesn't say that she's Tamei. If she says she's Tamei, fine, we let her go, leave the marriage, and she's also to the Baal, to the Baal, she was Mizana. But here she's just saying, I don't want to drink. Now, had the Megillah not been erased, she could do that, but it was already erased. And that the Mishnah says, Ma'arin Isa, we force her, Umashkin Isa Balkarcha, and we have her drink against her will. Now, the reason being is because once it was already erased, so then we make her go through the proceedings because maybe she really is Tar, and maybe it's just because she's afraid at the last moment, she's getting cold feet. Who knows? Maybe even though I'm Tar, it's going to do these things to me. And therefore, if she's just saying, I'm not going to drink, and from the fact she didn't say that she's Tame, which is obviously because maybe she really is Tar, so then we make her drink. Now, so the Mishnah says what ends up happening is, if the woman really is Tameh, se'ena mesapekes lishtoi, she didn't get a chance to even, when she just started drinking, achepanea merikas, and already her face starts turning yellowish, ve'enea boltas, and her eyes start bulging out, ve'imis ma'las gidin, and then the woman gets filled with veins. And the reason is because the veins in her cheeks start blowing up, and it looks like almost as if the cheek is full of blood vessels with veins. And also her flesh becomes with rows and rows of these veins popping out, as the Sefri says, like almost like rows of these veins are throughout her body, because her body starts blowing up. And the Haimimrim and the Kahan, they say, Haitziuha Shaloyti Tamazar, get rid of this woman so that she shouldn't defile and make Tame the Azara, which is a reference to the Shaar Nikkanor. She wasn't in the Azara itself, she was in the Shaar Nikkanor or the Ezra's Nashim, which is a further area. That's not what's known as the Azara, which is the Ezra's Yisrael, which is the part of the Machne Shechinah. Here it's a reference, get her out of the Shaar Nikkanor, which is the gate opening up into the Azara, or the Ezra's Nashim, which is further out, which that's how she leaves, which the Gemara is going to ask, that seemingly there's no problem about her dying over there because the Shaar Nikkanor didn't have the sanctity as the other gates of the Azara itself, of Machne Shechinah, and for sure not the Ezra's Nashim, which is further out towards the Har Habayis, and actually a corpse is allowed to go into Machne Leviyah. So why was it that they said, get her out of here because she's obviously going to die, when a corpse is allowed to be in Ezra's Nashim and even by Shaar Nikkanor? Now the Mishnah says, however, if she has a merit, so then that would weigh in over there and hang and keep at a bay the consequences and the death that usually comes imminent. If she has a merit, it could delay that, as the Mishnah says. Yesh chus toila shana achas. There are certain types of merits that could delay it for 1 year. Yesh chus toila beis shanim. There are certain merits that could delay it for 2 years. And yesh chus toila gimel shanim. There are certain merits that could delay it for 3 years. So although that she was mezana and she really should blow up and die right away, but through certain merits, it delays the process. Now, mikan oimi benazai, from this says benazai, chayiv odim lalaman es bita Torah. This teaches us that a man should teach his daughter Torah. Why? Shem tishta, because if she drinks, and really she's tummy, and really she should die right away, and she sees, hey, I'm not dying right away, so she's going to start doubting the Torah. So teda, she should know shas chus toilah. That's not true. It's the merit that she has that's delaying the consequences of this gruesome death that the Saita suffers. And the reason is because she'll see, if she knows how to learn, she'll look at the Parsha Saita and she'll see that it's merits that delay it. Because as the Gemara teaches us from the words of Aniksa, the Nizra Zera, which means that she gets cleansed, meaning there's a certain purity that she has because of her merits, which is the amount of time of the Nizra Zera, which is the amount of time to have a child, which is either 9 months or some say even more, as the Gemara explains. And therefore says, Benazai, it's imperative to teach your daughter Torah, because else she's going to start questioning what she thinks should be happening, and she sees it's not, because she doesn't understand that the Drasha and Parsha Shaita tells us that it doesn't happen necessarily right away. But Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Kalam alamid bita Torah, whoever teaches his daughter Torah is ki'ilu lamda tiflas. It's as if he's teaching her regarding Dvar Veira, regarding things regarding sexual immorality. That's what it's as if he's teaching, which the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Rabbi Shulaimer, he says, related to this idea of teaching Torah and of Tiflis, says, right to Isha Bekava Tiflis, a woman would prefer, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly what this means, Kav, a small measurement, but Tiflis, but having Tashmish Amitu, cavitation, Mites Kav in the precious, then having a lot, knowing Kavin, but being separate from her husband. Hu ha-ya'imer. This Rabbi Yeshua used to say that a chassid shaita, a pious fool, v'rasha arman, a cunning, wicked person, v'isha prusha, and a woman that separates herself from the physicality of this world, umakis prushan, and the wounds of a person that separates himself, which, as the Gemara will explain, it means to say that he bangs into walls to show people how humble he is and how modest he is. These are people that mix up the world. They destroy the world. So related to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Amr Bihuda Amr Shmuel Meshum Remei. He says, Kishi Yisid Lama Tari Itzel Rebbe Kiva. This is what they said over in the name of Rebbe Kiva, Remei. The Remei said that when I had learned by Rebbe Kiva, He Yisi Matal Kankantam Lutech Adiyah. I would put this certain type of the sap, this ink, into the regular ink that I use when I would write a stam, when I write a Sefer Torah, b'loy amali dava, and Rebbe Kiva didn't tell me anything. But kishabasi, it's Rabbi Shmuel. When they came to Rabbi Shmuel, amali, Rabbi Shmuel said to me, says Rameir, B'ni, mamalachtecha, my son, what is your work? What's your craft? So amarti loy, I said to him, lavlar ani, I'm a scribe. So amali, so Bishmol said to me, B'ni havizahar, my son, be careful. Shemalachtecha melecha shemayim, your work, your profession is the profession of regards to the things of heaven, regarding writing a Sefer Torah and film. Shematachzer oisachas, maybe you're going to be missing one letter, for example, an aleph or an hey, which could be disastrous. For example, a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says Hashem Elikim Emes, He's the true God. Of Chas v'Shalom, you miss out the aleph over there. It's as if you're saying Elikim Mes, that Chas v'Shalom, that God is Mes. Oy tater oisachas, or maybe you're going to add on another letter, which could also be disastrous when you write Bereshis Bar Elikim. If you add on a vav Bereshis Baroi Elikim, suddenly sounds like that there's just not this one Hashem Chas v'Shalom. So nimtzis atamachar v'skoilim kula, it will come out that you'll be destroying the entirety of the world just by your one stroke of the pen of one letter, either more or less. So amarti lo, says Rav Meir, I said to Rabbi Shmuel, davar echad yeshli shani matal techad yoy. There is one thing that I put into the ink, v'kankantim shmoy, and it's called kankantim, and shortly the Gemara is going to address exactly how's that answering Rabbi Shmuel's question that he's concerned about having one or a letter more or less by saying that what type of ink he uses, what does he put into the ink. But however, that's what he responded to Rabbi Shmuel. On that says Rav Meir, Amali, Rabbi Shmuel said back to me, what, v'chimatilin kankantim l'techad yoy, you think you could put this dye, that's this really black thing that they use for shoemakers, into the ink that's used to write a Sefer Torah? But a Torah amro umacha, the Torah says, and this is how it comes into the relationship of the halacha of our Mishnah, the Torah says that the scroll of the Seiter should be erased in the water. Ksav sheyachal imach is what that means to say is that you have to have a writing that could be erased. Now that is, as Rashi explains, Rabbi Shmuel held that, as we'll see shortly, it's a machlekes, that you could erase the parsha of the Seiter actually from the Torah itself. And you don't have to have written as Lishma, although we said that in the Mishnah that it has to be written Lishma, that you don't have to write a separate scroll for the Seiter. You could take an existing Sefer Torah and take that parsha of the Seiter and erase that in water. Now, therefore, it was regarding specifically, not of the whole Sefer Torah, but of the parasha Seiter that's written in the Sefer Torah, that Rabbi Shmuel was saying, how could you write the whole Sefer Torah with kankantim if in that part which is written the parasha Seiter, you have to be able to erase that, and if you're writing with kankantim, kankantim is something that you can't fully erase, and that won't be valid for the parasha Seiter. So that's again how it relates to the halacha of our Mishnah. But on that, the Gemara is, my kamale. What was Rabbi Shmuel telling to Rav Meir? How did Rav Meir address that? If Rabbi Shmuel was concerned about, you have to be careful, you're safer to have one extra letter or one less letter, so how did Rav Meir respond when he said, oh, I have something that is really permanent and doesn't get erased, which actually ultimately was Rabbi Shmuel's concern about, wait, then you can't use that because of the parasha Seiter in the Torah. But what does putting kankantim in the letters have to do with adding on a letter or missing a letter? So that's what the Gemara answers, the Hachi Kamalei. What Rav Meir was responding to Rabbi Shmuel was, Loi mi boye b'chaseres v'yaseres. He was telling Rabbi Shmuel, don't worry. Forget about adding a letter or deleting a letter. Debaki ano, that I'm proficient, I'm professional, and I'm very well-versed, and I know not to have more or less. But on that said, Rav Meir, el afil l'meichesh l'zvov, but even as a concern of a fly, didilma asa v'yasav atagi didalist u'mochikle, you're concerned about a whole letter? Says the mayor, forget about it. For sure, I'm not having a mistake with a whole letter, but even with a part of a letter, where let's say a fly that would come and sit on the crown, on the top part of the dalet, which goes towards the right part, that it's going to sit on it and then erase that part of the letter, a numashvili erase, and then it's going to turn the dalet into a erase, which could be disastrous also. For example, if that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akein, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, it's going to turn it into a erase, which is Hashem Acher, which is not exactly what we want that word to say. And that is even what Rav Meir was saying, davar echad yeshli shani matal techad yoy b'kankantim shemay, that I have something that I put into the ink, which is called kankantim, and it doesn't get erased ever. And therefore, so forget about what you're concerned about, which is whole letters, even for the concern of even parts of letters, I even have an idea for that, which is the kankantim that I put in. So that was that discussion. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so the way this was quoted in this first version? But Vatani, we learn the Braisa that seemingly says the opposite. That Amr Meir says, Kishayisi lama tarits of Rishmo, when I was learning Torah by Rishmo, so Yisi matl kankantam utechadjai, I would put this kankantam into the ink, and he didn't tell me anything, he wasn't concerned with that. Kishabasi, it's Rabbi Kiva, when I came to Rabbi Kiva, Asallah, he said that it's forbidden, you can't put in kankantam into the djai. Now that the Gemara asked two questions. First of all, Kashi Yashimash Ashimash, that it's problematic. First version told us that first he was a student by Rabbi Kiva, and this second version is saying that no, first he was a student by Rabbi Shmuel, and only then by Rabbi Kiva. And also Kashi Asra Asra. We also have the more difficult question about it, so who is it that said it was forbidden? It was always the first one that wasn't concerned, and the second one that said it is a problem. The first Braisa made it sound like Rabbi Shmuel said it was Asr, and Rabbi Kiva wasn't concerned. And this version has that Rabbi Shmuel was not concerned, and Rabbi Kiva said that it is Asr. So now the Gemara addresses that Bishlam Mishimash Hashimash Lakasha, we could resolve the first question regarding who was it that he served as a student first, that we could say, Meikara Asr Lakamed Rabbi Kiva. You're right, like the first version has it, that originally he first was a student of Rabbi Kiva. But Kivan Dole Matsi Kamali Bey, but since he wasn't able to fully grasp the fundamental principles of his Rebbe Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva was able to show something that's really tummy and convince you that it, and show you that it's tar, and he would give even proofs for that, and at the same time he could show you something that's tar and tell you that's tummy and bring you proofs for that. So he wasn't able to fully grasp the profundity of his Rebbe Rabbi Kiva. So therefore also lekamid Rabbi Shmuel. So then he came to learn by Rabbi Shmuel, and then the gemara. So he learned Gemara, meaning he learned the text of the Mishnayos as they were, as Rabbi Shmuel had learned from his teacher, and from his teacher going back to Moshe Rabbeinu Bahar Sinai. Now, once he knew the text, then Hadar Asr Lekamed Rabbi Kiva and Sava Svar, then he came to Rabbi Kiva, and now he came to, once he knew the Mishnayos, to understand the fundamental principles and the reasonings. Why is this Tameh? Why is this Tar? Why is this permitted? Why is this forbidden? And what is what does each concept rely on? In which pasuk do we find the source? And that is what is mentioned that in the times of the Tanoim, that what's called Talmud, which they wanted to understand one thing from another, which is that anything new that was asked in the Beis Medrash, from where do you learn this, and what Mishnah could it be compared to? So once he already had the basic foundation of Rabbi Shmuel, so then he came back to Rabbi Kiva. So that answers both versions, where the first version says, first Rabbi Kiva, then Rabbi Shmuel. And the second version then continues then and says, okay, he was then Rabbi Shmuel, and then went to Rabbi Kiva. But definitely the contradiction is, who said it's forbidden? One version has it, Rabbi Shmuel saying it's forbidden. The other version has it, Rabbi Kiva saying it's forbidden. And that the Gemara says, Kasha, it's definitely difficult. It's not clear who was it that had the problem with putting kankantim into the diyai, again, related to the topic of our Mishnah, because the pasuk says, Umocha has to be fully erased, and kankantim doesn't get erased. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara says, Tanya Lutna Braisa. So, Rabbi Huda Omer, Oimah Hayir Meir, May would say, and this is this Rabbi Meir who is just saying over from his Rebbeim of Rabbi Shmuel B'Kiva, that he said, L'chol matilin kankantim l'techad yoy. For all purposes, you could always put this kankantim into the ink. However, as we continue our Talmud Beis, chutz mi parasha saita lovad, which is even the parasha saita in the Sefer Torah, which obviously that is, he accepted what his Rebbe had told him, whether that be Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva, that you could write the whole Sefer Torah with kankantim, but the parasha saita, that couldn't be used to erase into the water so that you can use kankantim, because then that won't be umacha. But Rabbi Yaakov said over in the name of Rabbi Meir that when Rabbi Meir said that you could put kankantim in all inks, it was chutz mi parsha soita shel mikdash. It was except the one exception that you can't put kankantim is for the scroll of the soita that's used in the Beis Hamikdash, meaning from every single soita when they come, they write up this scroll, which then they use to erase, that can't be used. But, sounds like that in the Sefer Torah, even the parsha soita itself, you could use kankantim. So the Gemara says, "My Benayu, what's between them?" In other words, regarding what are they arguing, what's the underlying reasoning, meaning we know the difference between them, what is it that kankantim cannot be useful? But the question is, where are they coming from? So Amr B'Yirmi, it's limchik la min ha-Torah. It's regarding to be able to erase from the parasha saita that's written in the Sefer Torah, Ikki Benayu, that's the difference between them. And that is the Tanna Kamma holds that you could erase from the parasha saita in the Sefer Torah. That's why you can't put kankantim even in the parasha saita in the Sefer Torah itself. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov holds, no, you cannot use the Sefer Torah that has the parasha saita to erase that. And therefore, you could even use kankantim throughout the whole Sefer Torah. It's just the special scroll that's used, which is what you need to use for the Saita, that can't be used with kankantim again because that won't be fully erased. Now that the Gemara says, v'hani tanoi, and that this machlokes tanoim is kihani tanoi, is the same thing as the following machlokes tanoim that we're going to quote, that they also argue regarding, does the ksiva, does the writing of the Megillah of the Saita have to be lishma for her sake? In other words, seemingly that's the same machlokes we just mentioned. If you're saying you could use a Sefer Torah, that obviously wasn't written for this Saita. It was written as a Sefer Torah, which they lay in shul. And now you want to go ahead and erase that part for the Saita, whereas the other one says that you can't, that would be a machlekes. Does it have to be lishma or not? And that the Gemara says, that's the same thing as the following machlekes tanaim. The time like learn the Braisa. The Braisa says, Ein Megillasa Kshera Lahashkes B'Saita Acheres. The scroll that was written for this Saita, if let's say she backs out and it wasn't erased yet, you can't use that, as we learned in our Mishnah, for another Saita. The reason obviously is because you need to do it lishma. It has to be for this woman that's written for. Whereas Reb Acha Bar Yeshi, I mean, he says, no, Megillasa Kasher Lahashkas B'Saita Acheres. No, if she backs out, her Megillah is kosher even for another Saita. So seemingly, this is the same machlokes regarding, can you use this woman's for another woman, or can you use a Sefer Torah for another woman? Seemingly, that parallels both machlokes. If you hold that has to be lishma, well, then you can't use from the Sefer Torah, and neither can you use it from another woman. Whereas if you hold that you don't need lishma, then you could use it from a Sefer Torah or from another woman. So that the Gemara says that no. Amar Papa says, dimalohi. Maybe it's not the case. Meaning, ad kan lo kamar tanakama hasa, maybe the tanakama of the second brisa that says you needed lishma, that maybe is elekivin de intik. Maybe that's only because once it was written, it was removed from all the women in the world. Meaning because it was written lishma, or for let's say lishum Rachel, it was written for this woman, Rachel. So that's why the tanakama holds that lehodra mintika lishum leia. It can't be then removed and designated for a leia because it was already made just for this Rachel. You can't go ahead now and remove that designation for another one. That's why the Tanakam would hold that you can't use one Saitis for another. Avot Taira, but regarding the previous Machlekes, regarding can you erase from the Taira itself, the stomach Siva, where it's written just in general, generic, maybe the Tanakam of the second Braisa would hold that you could erase from the Sefer Torah. It doesn't need to be Lishma, it could be from a Sefer Torah. The only problem with the first woman Saita to take for the second one is not because you didn't have Lishma for the second one, is because it was for her. Now, if it was for a different one, then it can't be for this one. But if it was written just in general, like a Sefer Torah, maybe it could be used for a Saita. So to Omer of Nachma Yitzchak, he is also asking on this premise that the Gemara had said that it's the same Machlokes Tanoim. And he wants to say that, no, it's not necessarily the same Machlokes Tanoim. He's just asking the other way, meaning that he agrees to what Rav Papa's question was. All he's saying is that, yeah, you could ask the way you're saying one way, and then you could even ask and say the question the other way, which is dimalaihi, maybe it's not the same machlokes tanaim. Because just using the other Tana, the second braisa, that adkan lekam rib achi ber oishia hasam, maybe regarding the second machlokes tanaim, where rib achi ber oishia says that you don't need it lishma, meaning you could use the first woman saita for a different woman saita, that's maybe ele b'megillah de'ichtab l'shum olis ba'aylam. That's because this scroll at least was written for the purpose of being used as a curse to erase into the water. So although it was written for this woman, it doesn't make a difference. It was written to be used as a curse, so you could use it for another woman. Avot Torah de Islamic Kesiva, but Torah wasn't written to be used as a tool for a curse. It was used to learn from Sachanamit Lemachkin, and maybe he would hold that actually that you cannot use it and erase it from the Sefer Torah, and therefore it's not necessarily the same Machlokes Tanoim. It could be based on different principles, not if it's Lashma or not, but rather, again, each one, according to their opinion, where if it was Intik Lashum Rachel, it can't be Lashum Leia, or the other way around, that could be, by here at least, by the Tzaitis, it was written Lashum Alis, it was written for curses, in contrast to Sefer Torah, that wasn't written for that, and therefore you wouldn't be able to use the Sefer Torah. Now, however, the Gemara just asked a question regarding this Brice that we introduced, which we thought maybe was Maseh Machlokes Tanoim. The Gemara said, not necessarily. And that the Gemara asked Reb Achi Reb Yeshia, that he says that you don't need it to be written Lishma for this woman. You could use even a different woman that backed out, you could use her scroll for the next Saita that comes along. And that the Gemara asked Reb Achi Reb Yeshia, lastly, he doesn't hold of the following Mishnah Masechet Gittin. The Mishnah Masechet Gittin says that if Kasav, if the husband writes a get, the garish is ishtoi to divorce his wife, the nimlach, and he changes his mind, he doesn't want to divorce her anymore, Now, but here he has a get that he paid the scribe. He has his whole get written up. And Matzah ben Iroi, he finds what's called a Lanzman. He finds someone from his same city who actually, they have the same first name and they're from the same city. Va'amar loy, and he tells him, wait a second, Shmi kishmecha, we have the same first name. Moreover, v'shem ishti kishem ishtecha, my wife's name is the same as your wife's name. And we live in the same city, and therefore your get is fit for me. Give it to me. I want to divorce my wife. So that the Mishnah says, Pasalik Arashbay. Although everything that's written in the document is exactly what this person needs, it's invalid to be used to divorce his wife. And the reason being is because we expound when it says, the cost of law save increases. He writes for her a document of divorce. Law means lishma, has to be written for that woman. And therefore you can't use that woman's get for this woman. Now, therefore, the difficulty is, here it also says, va'asallah ha'kayin, the kayin will make it for her. So, it should also be that the Megillah has to be written for her. So, how does Rabbi Ha'isha hold that you could use one woman's Megillah for the other one? So, Amri, they said, hasam over there by get, v'kasav la amrachmana, the law of the woman that's being divorced is written in the context of the v'kasav. You have to write it for her, which means, be'inikseva lishma, the writing of the text has been written for her, and therefore can be used for another woman. Hachanam here also, v'asallah, it says that the kohen should do for her. Now, my asiya, what is the doing that the kohen's doing in regards to this Megillah? It's the mechika. It doesn't say v'kasallah, it says v'asallah. What does he do? He erases, yes, the erasing has to be for this woman. And if, let's say, it was erased for one woman, that cup cannot be used for another woman. But the writing doesn't have to be, according to Rabbi Yeshia, for this woman, and that's what he holds, that you could use one saita's for another saita on that Megillah. Now the Mishnah said that if the woman drinks and she is guilty, so inim esapekas lishtoi, so she doesn't even get finished drinking, achepenev v'chulu, until her face gets yellow and so on, and the whole consequences that happens. So the Gemara asks Mani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that taught that once she drinks, boom, right away the bedika starts working and she starts getting the consequences? So that the Gemara says, similarly, Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon. The Amma that he said, as we quoted this on the previous daf in your Testament Aleph, he says, Makar ves minchas ba'achkech mashka. There was a machlekes regarding what comes first. His opinion was that first they sacrifice her flower offering, and only then does she drink. Now, the reason why that now it's like him is because the kamad lekarva minchas lebat kilomaya, because it can't be like the Rabbanan. Because if the flower offering wasn't sacrificed yet, then the water wouldn't do its bedikas and its inspections. So according to Rabbanan, that you first drink and then you have the mincha, it wouldn't work right away. So it must be that if it's saying it works right away, it's like Reb Shimon, who you already brought the mincha and now you're drinking. And the reason why it only works after the mincha is the chesiv, like it says in the pasuk, mincha zikaron, a flower offering of remembrance, maskeras oven, that recalls the sin. So it's the flower offering that triggers the punishment, and therefore if it's happening right after the drinking, must be that the flower offering was and then the drinking. Now that the Gemara asked, however, but look at the end of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Yesh l'schus, if she has a merit, then that would delay the punishment." Now that the Gemara asked, but that's Asi l'Rabbanan. That comes out like the Rabbanan and not like Reb Shimon, because the Reb Shimon, if it's like Reb Shimon, ha'ama, but he says, as is taught later on in the Mishnah of Chum Beis Mabeis, ein schus toilu b'mayim hamar. He holds that there is no merit that delays the effects of the bitter waters. So how can you say it's like Reb Shimon if our Mishnah, the Tana, says the concept of schus toila? So that Rav Chizdi says, you're right, Hamani Rabbi Kiva. Rather, the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. The Amma that he says, as we quoted this on New Testament Beis, that he said that when the kaimitz, when the fistful was sacrificed, then the woman can't back out anymore from drinking. So obviously what we see is that he holds makarves minchasa v'achkach mashka. Obviously you first sacrifice the mincha, then the drinking, because if you drink first and then you sacrifice the mincha, it wouldn't make sense to say that once the flower offering was sacrificed, she can't back out. What do you mean can't back out? The drinking is before the mincha. So obviously he holds like Reb Shimon in that regard, which is that the mincha comes first and then the drinking, and that's why the ratio of the Mishnah makes sense. So right when you start drinking, it could start taking its effect. But in regards to the merit delaying, that he doesn't hold like Reb Shimon, he holds like Rabbanan, and that's why the sefer of the Mishnah makes sense, that we see the concept of schus toila. Now the Mishnah said that once it starts working and she's blowing up and whatnot, so they say, get her out of here. So the Gemara asked, my time, what's the reason? What are they concerned about that there's going to be tumah in the Beis HaMikdash? the Dilma Mesa. It sounds like because maybe she's going to die. On that, the Gemara asks, "Lememr the mes asa b'machna leviya?" Is that to say that a corpse is forbidden to be in the camp of the Levies? Meaning that's what translates into the area of Har Habayis. The Temple Mount is considered machna leviya, which the reason is because that includes the Ezra's Nashim. So to even the Shar Nikoner, the gate of Nikoner, which is the entryway for the Azar, which actually all the other gates had the Kedusha of the Azar, which is called the Machna Shechina, which is like in concentric circles. The center is Machna Shechina, around it is Machna Leviya, around it is Machna Yisrael, which that's in the Midbar in reference to the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Azara, which is like the Machna Shechina. Around that in the Har Habayis is the Machna Leviya. And around that is the Machna, is Yerushalayim, is like the Machna Yisrael. Now the thing is that the Shaar Nikoner doesn't have the sanctity of the Kedusha of the Azara. So it's like the rest of the Har Habayis, which is like Machna Leviya. So even if she dies over there, she's in the Levite camp. Now, is that to say that a mess is forbidden to be there? But by the time you learn the Braisa that says, Tamei meis mutu likanis l'machna leviyah, someone that became Tamei by coming in contact with a corpse is permitted to go into the Levi camp. Now, moreover, v'loi tamei meis b'vat amr, says the Braisa, it's not only something that became Tamei from a corpse, el afila mes asmai, a corpse itself was allowed to come into machna leviyah, into Har Habayis. Shnemak says the pasuk in Shemais. Says Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imoy. The Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him, which means imoy b'mechitzas. He had it with him in his home, in his area. Now that is the same parallel that we're discussing. Whereas we said in the Midbar there were these three camps, which is from within the curtains was Machna Shechina. The Levim had their encampment around the Mishkan, which that's Machna Leviya. And then you have all the Golem, all the tribes, which is in the area of three Parsais, which is Machna Yisrael. Now, Moshe is a Levi, and it says that he had it with him. So you see that a corpse could be in Machna Leviya. So what's the concern if the woman's going to die? The furthest in she is Shaar Nikoner, and if anything, she's leaving the other way through Ezra's Nashim. That's all Har Habayis. That's all Machna Leviya. So what's the concern? You could have a corpse over there. So Abaya says you're right. The concern of Tumah was not because of her dying, but rather, Shemer Tifras Nida, she might begin menstruating. And the reason for that is because of the great fear, the trepidation of what the bitter waters are starting to do to her, she could start having a period of menstruation. Now, a Nida, a Zav, and a Zava, and a Balkari, which they all have this similar emission from that area, they're all forbidden to be in Machna Leviya. The Gemara learns in Masechet Psachim, Dav Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. And therefore, that's why they said, get her out of here, because she might become a Nida, and she's forbidden to be over here in Machna Leviya. Now, that the Gemara asks, Lememra de Bisusa Merafia, is that to say that a fright actually loosens the woman's uterus and causes her to menstruate? And that the Gemara says, yes, like it says a pasuk in Esther, says, Vatischalchu Hamalka Ma'id, which means that her whole body like was liquefied, like she started like loosening because of the great fear that she was in. But Amar Rav, and Rav explained what happened was, she pierced the Nida, that she began to menstruate. So you see that a fright makes a woman to release her blood from the uterus, which was a problem over there to be in the Azar, in the Ezes Nashim, even in the Machna Leviya. Now on that, the Gemara asks, but Va'anan Tanan, but seemingly we learned not like this in the Mishnah Masechtas Nida. The Mishnah says, a charada misalekes damim, that a fright actually removes the blood, meaning it prevents it from coming out of the uterus. It contracts into the lining of the wall of the uterus. So how can we say that the fright actually causes the blood to come out? So I think my answer is, it depends what type. Pachada, which is a type of a worry that doesn't come suddenly. Rather, it's a constant anxiety and worrying that maybe, let's say, enemies are going to come to kill me. That's tzamas. That actually contracts the uterus and prevents it from releasing the blood, even at what's called Bishaz Vesta, at the time of when the period normally comes. Now, that Mishnah Masechtas Nida is talking about such a case of daiga, of worry, whereas the Mishnah there teaches where if, let's say, a woman's vest comes when she usually expects it and she doesn't do bedikah, she doesn't check to see if she had blood at that time, so we consider her tamei. We expected that that's when it came because of what's called Erech Bezman Ebo, which literally means, say, the guest comes when he usually does, which is, we expect that blood came, and although you didn't check, we take for granted that there was. But Reb Meir says, if she wasn't hiding because of the enemy, and her vest came and she didn't check, she's tar actually, if she checks later and she finds that it's tar and she doesn't see blood. And we don't say that Oyrich Bezmanibah, that the blood came at its normal time of the period, because of Charad the Misalekes as Adam, like we just quoted, because the fear removes the blood from coming, it contracts it. Again, that's because it's talking about such a case of it's something that's a buildup. It's not a sudden type of a fear. It's like hiding and waiting and being concerned. But Be'isusa, a sudden fright, for example, like this type of a case where she wasn't afraid up until now, and suddenly she starts noticing her body doing these crazy things, so she's starting to freak out. And so too, like the case by Esther Hamalka, where suddenly she got this news about Mordechai and she started getting a sudden fright, that is merafia. That actually loosens the blood and it opens up the uterus and causes it to come out. Again, that was the concern, says Abai in the Saita, when she's a Machna Levia, that a knee does not let it be there, and because of a sudden fright, what's happening, it could cause the blood to come out. And that's what it said, get her out of here. Now the Mishnah said, however, yesh la schos, if she has a merit, haisa v'chulu, then it was able to delay it. Now, that the Gemara asks, mani masnitin, who's the town of our Mishnah that says that you could have a merit that delays it up to 3 years? And the reason being is because loib Abba Yosef ben Chanan, it's not Abba Yosef ben Chanan, v'loib Elazar ben Yitzchok ish kfar dam, a man of the village of the south, v'loib b'shalas ha'ri shmol, the town of the Brisa, we have three opinions, and seemingly our Mishnah is not like either one of them. The Brisa says, im yesh lo eschus, if the woman has a merit, toil lo shloish chadashim, it could delay it for 3 months. And that is kedeh hakara su'uba, that's the amount of time that it takes to recognize a woman's pregnancy. And the reason is because he expounds the niksa, that a woman will be cleansed, in other words, nothing's going to happen to her through a merit, the amount of time of a nizra zera, which that's the positive, a niksa of a nizra zera, although literally it means one thing, but the way they're expounding it is that she'll be clean, she won't have anything happen to her, for the amount of time of a nizra zera, which is the amount of time that it takes for the conception of the fetus to be recognized in the muberis, in the pregnant woman. That's divri Abba Yosef ben Chanan. Elazar ben Yitzchok ish kvar darm oimer, he says, tes chadashim, said it could delay it for up to 9 months. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk, the way he expounds it, the niksa, that she'll be clean, nothing's going to happen to her, the nizra zera, the amount of time of that it takes for the seed to be developed, now how much is that? So his interpretation is because ulahal noimer, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, zera yavdenu yisuper, that the child that serves you will say, what does that mean? It's a zera harui l'saper. It means to say the seed that's fit to say Hashem's praise, meaning that it could live and come to be able to say Hashem's praise. How long is that? That's if it was in pregnancy in utero for 9 months, then it'll be a zera. So we see that the term zera refers to 9 months, because that's when the child could survive. And therefore, when it says v'niksa, that you're going to be clean for the amount of an nizra zera, it means up to a period of 9 months. B'shemol, I mean, he's the third opinion, he says, it could delay it for even shnei masach chaydesh, up to 12 months. Now he says, v'av b'shein raya, even though there's no full-fledged proof, l'davah, for this concept, that a merit could delay it up to 12 months, but at least zeche l'davah, at least there's an allusion to this concept, which the Gemara shortly is going to ask, that seemingly it is a full-fledged proof. Why is it only like a zechel davar? But he says that the chsiv, like it says, the passing in Daniel. Now this is where Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar, when he explains to him his dream, that he's going to be chased away from mankind, and he's going to have to hang out with the animals and the wild animals. So he tells Nebuchadnezzar, Lehein Malka, however, my king, Milki Yishpar Aloich, that my counsel should find favor in your eyes, that you should trust me what I'm going to tell you as counsel, that v'chatoyach b'tzdaka pruk, that your sin you should redeem by giving charity, and v'avayosach, and your sins b'michan anyan, will be taken care of by your having mercy on the poor. As we continue in the Tambuch of Alvam and Alv, hein teve archo l'shleivosach, they will be what will give you, will lengthen your time of peace, that the punishment shouldn't come, that it should delay it. And that's actually, as Rashi says, what Nebuchadnezzar did. He gathered every single day all the paupers of the Jewish people that came in the exile, who needed food, and they had that he gave them their sustenance. And so too, Rashi says, that was Daniel's idea when he gave this counsel, was because he saw all the Jewish people in exile who were going, knocking on doors to collect food. So that's why he gave that as a counsel for delaying Nebuchadnezzar's punishment. Now, it says in the next pasuk, "Kaila mita al Nebuchadnezzar melka," that all these punishments that Daniel had told him was when he explained to him his dream, they all happened upon Nebuchadnezzar. But Achseb, it says in the next pasuk that was Liktsos Yarchin Trei Aser. And that was only at the end of 12 months. So obviously we see that a merit, which was the tzedakah that he was giving, could delay the punishment for up to 12 months. So therefore we have one opinion, 3 months, or 9 months, or 12 months. But, ask the Gemara, seemingly none of them are like the Tanna of our Mishnah, who says that it could delay it up to 3 years. So the Gemara answers that, Lo'ilam, truth is, our Mishnah that says that it could delay it up to 3 years is Rabbi Shmuel, who said 1 year, 12 months. But va'ashkach kra the Amar Batani, it's because we find the pasuk that says and repeats. In other words, that it extends the amount of time that it could delay. Because there's a pasuk that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lengthen the time up to 3 times that amount. And therefore, since one time of delaying is 12 months, and we see that it could delay it up to 3 times, that takes us up to a delay of 3 years. So like we learn the pasuk in Amos, it says, Koyama Hashem, so does Hashem say, Al Shleisha Pishay Edaim. For the 3 sins of Edaim, that I'm going to hold off on the punishment, but not on 4. So if it's 3 times that he's going to delay, and each delay is 12 months, so that's how we see that it could be up to a period of 3 years, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel is a Tana of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara just asked, as we introduced from the Braisa, the last opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, "My afal pi she'ein raila dava zech ladava." Why is it he's saying that even though it's not a full-fledged proof, but it's somewhat of a proof? Seemingly, it's a full-fledged proof. We see that there was a delay of a punishment for up to 12 months through a schus. So I think more answers, Dilma Shani Avdi Kechavim. No, he said it's not a full-fledged proof because maybe non-Jews are different. Delay Mifke Dina Alayhu. That in heaven, they're not so swift to take action and to recall the sins of the non-Jews in this world. Hashem doesn't punish them right away. And therefore, maybe by Nebuchadnezzar, a merit would delay it up to 12 months. But the Jewish people, Hashem is very swift and very precise and medactic after them to punish them in this world, again, because our primary world is the next world, and therefore Hashem wants to punish and make sure we get done with all these things and get ready for the next world, maybe there the delay would not be as long as 12 months. So therefore it says it's not a Raya Gemura, but it's still a Zeich L'dava for this opinion that he had, which was that the delay of the Saita could be up to 12 months, again, which we explained actually could be up to 3 years, because each delay is 12 months, and Hashem could do it up to 3 times, which is up to a period of 3 years.